Choices with Phil Riley.
She's a language expert. She's built a multi-million pound business. She sold it and then she's bought it back. She's got a doctorate in business too. And now she's trying to give back by persuading other baby boomers like you to become entrepreneurs too. I'm Phil Riley and this week on Boom Radio, these are the choices of Dr. Isabella Moore. Isabella, welcome to Boom Radio.
Hello. Good to be on Boom Radio.
All of our listeners are your target audience. Why should those of us who are in our 60s or even early 70s, maybe mid-70s, why should we be starting our own businesses? Why should we be being entrepreneurial at this stage of our lives?
Okay, well, I mean, I suppose I can classify myself as an olderpreneur because although I set up a business in later life, I sold it and then bought it back with my daughter Sophie
Good.
Many, many years later when I was about 60.
Yeah.
And I found that at that age, I had a different set of problems than I did when I was when I was a lot younger. I was looking after an older relative, my mother. I had grandchildren. And I suppose at the age of 60, you feel that you've perhaps lost a bit of your identity as you were younger.
Yeah.
But I had a wealth of experience and skills. And that's how I became interested in the subject and hence the doctoral research I did. And what I passionately believe in is that people in later life have a wealth of experience, knowledge, what I call age capital that they've accumulated over many, many years. And I think it goes to waste. And the government now is talking a lot about people going back to work in later life. But many people don't want to have the constraints of a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why perhaps they might have left the work they were doing in earlier life. And what I'm trying to do is to encourage people to think about the option of setting up a business. Now, it could be something like a hobby that they've enjoyed in early life that they want to expand in. It could be a dream that they've had that they wanted to work for themselves and just feel the satisfaction of being your own boss.
Yeah.
I mean, there are many reasons, many motivations, or quite simply you want more money. You know, nowadays, especially women, they don't have the retirement income that many, many women expect. In fact, 70% of women don't have anything but the state pension.
Crikey.
So the need to increase your income in later life is also an imperative, also a motivation to think about, you know, what can I do?
Yeah.
It's not just about going to B&Q and working. It's about really using these skills, this age capital that I believe we all have.
Now, I imagine people who've never been entrepreneurial would think, oh my goodness, that's so scary. Is it actually as scary as people think it is to set up a business if you've never done it before and you're getting to our age?
Well, that's why we've created in the Olderpreneur Alliance, which is the community interest company that I set up, we've created a program called the Later Creator. And what my research found was that many people perceive that they don't have the skills to set up in business. And in this sort of first stage, it's about overcoming confidence issues. It's about looking at what are the barriers that are stopping you. I mean, they can be real barriers. As I mentioned myself, I had to spend time helping my daughter to bring up, you know, we had our other business. So I needed to help her to bring up her two daughters, an elderly relative. So these are real barriers, but there's also those that are in your head. What are the sort of beliefs that are actually constraining you? You know, what are the things that are going on in your head? You know, sort of why I can't do this. I can't set up a business in later life. And it's really exploring that so that there is a lot of help out there to actually set up a business. But it's you yourself in this later stage in in your life that might be stopping you from going out and getting that help. And that's the idea of the Later Creator Programme.
Great. Well, we'll come back and talk some more about that later, I'm sure. But let's pause for a music track. And I ask you to pick something contemporary, and you've picked something which is in probably everybody's minds at the moment because we've just lost Tina Turner. So tell us why you picked this track.
Well, I think she's someone who I've always admired. I mean, she picked herself up. She had problems in her life. She picked herself up and created a fantastic career. And she was just so full of energy and dynamism this song, Simply the Best, was just fantastic. And it's taken me through many, many years of my life, certainly.
You've come to me. Yeah.
Dr. Isabella Moore, language expert, entrepreneur, and older entrepreneur alliance founder, is our guest on Choices this week. Isabella, it's obvious that you're Scottish.
Yeah.
What was childhood like for you?
Well, I was as you said, I was born and brought up in Edinburgh. But I was, I'm half Scottish actually, because my mother she died sadly last year, was Polish.
Right.
So my mother and father met, after the war, and I was born and brought up in Scotland, went to Burymuir in Edinburgh. And these are my roots.
and did having a Polish mother and a Scottish father mean that you spoke two languages at home? Was that part of your childhood?
Well, I always say that it was my knowledge of Polish that really shaped my career, because my first degree actually was in art history, so very far from business. I wrote my thesis on 18th century church pulpits in Central Europe, so it couldn't be further from a business background. But actually, I did part of my degree at Warsaw University. I knew Polish because my grandmother came over to help my mother with my brother and I. So I used to hear a lot of Polish, and like many first sort of generation, I understood it but didn't speak it well. But my language really improved hugely when I won a sort of scholarship to go and study at Warsaw University. This was a sort of a program for students of Polish origin. But remember, this was 1968, so Poland was very much a communist country.
Wow.
And off I went to Poland. But then I was in the envious situation. I mean, now there are thousands of bilingual Polish, English speakers. But at that time, having a British passport and being bilingual was a real benefit to me. And I worked for an American construction company. At the age of 23, I was in charge of of the admin and finance for a whole construction site. And you'd never be able to get a job nowadays doing something like that. It was my knowledge of Polish.
Now, let's pause for a song. And I asked you what the first song you could ever remember buying was, and you picked a bit of a soul classic here.
Yeah.
Tell us the story behind this.
Well, I was in my youth, I had a gap year in Vienna. I decided I wanted to learn German, so I was about 18 at the time, and I remember we stayed with some friends we rented an apartment in Große Spellgasse in Vienna, and they had these sort of coffee shops in the corner with a jukebox. And I remember we used to sit there, drink loads of lovely white wine, listening to Percy Sledge, When a Man Loves a Woman. And I always, that's one of my classics, favourites.
Percy Sledge, When a Man Loves a Woman, classic song picked by this week's guest on Choices, who is Dr. Isabella Moore, a language expert, an entrepreneur, fascinating lady, and we're going to get into her amazing career next.
Hi, I'm Diana, and it's great to have your company Monday to Thursday nights, 10 until midnight, here on Boom Radio. We got the Luca Love, Love in the 60s, a little bit of chat, finding out what you're up to, and a nice, easy way to end the day. Hope you can join me Monday to Thursday nights.
Boom Radio.
Oh, thank you so much. That's amazing.
What are you going to spend it on?
We've just had a baby by IVF, so if we want another baby, that will definitely go towards some IVF, which would be lovely. An extension on the house, possibly, just to
accommodate another baby.
Another baby one day.
With People's Postcode Lottery, you could win prizes every single day. If you won, what would you spend it on? PPL managed lotteries on behalf of good causes. 18 plus, conditions apply, play responsibly. Not available in Northern Ireland.
Join the Reds this pre-season with LFC TV on Sky. Watch every pre-season game live and then relive the action with full match replays. Stay ahead with the latest club news and get behind the scenes access to Klopp and the team. Plus, highlights from every Liverpool FC women's team and academy game for the whole season. Experience it all for just £7 extra a month, and you can cancel any time. So don't hang about. Go to channel 423 and press red. LFC TV on Sky for £7 extra a month requires Sky TV. Cancellation requires 31 days notice.
Boom Radio, serving the whole United Kingdom, including
Horton. Situated between Preston and Blackburn, the village is dominated by the Horton Towers stately home. In 1617, King James I was attending a banquet there and was so impressed by a loin of beef that he was served, he decided to knight it. And the phrase, sirloin of beef, is still used to this day. Boom Radio, across the UK, including Horton.
Boom Radio. Choices with Phil Riley.
She's a language expert. She's built a multi-million pound business. She sold it and then she's bought it back. She's got a doctorate in business too. And now she's trying to give back by persuading other baby boomers like you to become entrepreneurs too. I'm Phil Riley, and this week on Boom Radio, these are the choices of Dr. Isabella Moore. Isabella, you talked about your early career in Poland and becoming a very successful interpreter. Was that a hugely challenging thing to do? I mean, I personally struggle with languages, like many people. I think just being good at two languages is hard enough, but to be able to interpret and listen to one language and convert it into another in real time, that sounds like an immensely challenging thing to be able to do.
Well, I mentioned a few minutes ago about this issue of specialist terminology, and, you know, I think that was one of the hard lessons I learned, that for every job you have, you need to know the specialist terminology. You can be bilingual, but that doesn't mean to say that you know the terms related to that sort of, to that area. And I remember taking a job on for, I don't know, Singer sewing machines had a stand at a fair in Poland, and they asked me if I would interpret for them a demonstration of these sewing machines, and off I went on stage because it was a demonstration, and suddenly, you know, I was absolutely bilingual, and suddenly they started to talk about the really ins and outs of a sewing machine, and I realized that I didn't have a clue, and I was so stressed that I literally fainted from the stress. So that was a really hard lesson for me to learn. So subsequently, wherever I had assignments, and I've been in helicopters over the North Sea with the coal industry, I've done all sorts of sort of specialist assignments in my early career. And I always prepared, you know, you take a children's book on mining and you sit there and you take all the terminology related to shafts and all the machinery and you write it down and you learn it off by heart. And then when you are standing there, the idea when you are interpreting is for the two people to forget that you are there. And when you feel that they have literally forgotten that you are there and they're having a lively discussion, you know you're doing the job properly.
Right.
So, as I said, you know, Polish was the opening to for me in setting up the business that I subsequently set up. But and then as a result, I mentioned the meat processing plant that I ran. I sort of literally ran. I initially was hired as an interpreter, and they fired, I think for some reason, it was an American Chicago company. They fired the lady that was running it and they offered me the job. So at the age of about 23, never having ever done anything like that, I was in charge of Italians, Swedes, Poles, sorting out all the administrative financial issues for this construction site. So it was a fantastic opportunity to learn on the job.
Okay, let's pause for another song. And you've picked a Dionne Warwick classic. Is there a particular reason for picking Dionne?
Yes, this meat processing plant that was being constructed was about 60 miles outside of Warsaw. And it was really the first big salary that I earned. It was about $1,000 a month, which in those days was a huge amount of money. And I was able to buy my own first car, which was a small Fiat. And I had a sort of recorder in the car. And I remember feeling so proud of myself as I drove from Rawa Mazowiecka to Warsaw, listening to this particular song. And it was great.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry each time we meet, walk on by, walk on by. Make believe that you don't see the tears, just let me grieve in private, 'cause each time I see you I break down and cry. Walk on by,
stop, stop.
Walk on by,
stop, stop.
Walk on by. I just can't get over losing you. And so if I seem broken and blue, walk on.
Dionne Warwick, Walk On By, one of the many songs that has peppered the life of our guest on Choices this week, Dr. Isabella Moore. Right, let's talk about becoming an entrepreneur, because you started your own business. You're obviously a language expert, and that was how you got many jobs. What was it that inspired you to think, actually, there's a business here in supplying language experts and interpreters to people? How did that come about for you?
Well, you know, you talk about, you know, entrepreneurs become entrepreneurs, as I said, for many reasons. There are many motivations, and quite often it's necessity, or it's a combination of necessity and opportunity. And it just sort of came that somebody asked for another language and another language, and that's how that opportunity developed. So from starting to offer Polish language services, I then began expanding into other languages, and obviously needed other people to do this, and people with specialist knowledge. So then I expanded the sort of network of translators and interpreters that I cooperated with, and that's how Comtech began, really. So as I said, it's a combination of necessity and opportunity.
Now, interestingly, you sold the business and then you bought it back, and of course that is one thing that I suppose many entrepreneurs have this dream, don't they, that they're going to start a business and it's going to be very successful and they're going to sell it for lots of money, but you know, those things, they sometimes happen outside of your control. What happened with you in terms of selling it and then buying it back?
Well, I think, you know, just sort of more generally, it's always good. And this is knowledge in hindsight. I didn't know it at the time, but it's always good to think about an exit strategy, because in the end, when you set up a business, as I did and many others do, it becomes your sort of other child. You know, you're involved in it. Everything that you do, you know, you're thinking about it. The hours you spend developing, learning, you know, improving it, thinking about where your next customers are going to be, how you're going to market the service, and it just becomes part of you. So very often you get to the point where you might decide that, you know, you feel that you can't sell it because you are so attached to it. But it is really important to have an exit strategy. And it's actually, that's what happened. It was an opportunity, an American company who were selling, systems related to, dictation at the time, which probably now is defunct. And they were looking to internationalize that. And we had a discussion, and they were interested in buying Comtech. And we sold it to this American company. And I went off to London. I was chief executive of an organization that promoted the learning of languages in schools, in primary schools and secondary schools. But then the opportunity arose, and with my daughter, to buy it back. Yeah.
And hopefully you bought it back for less than you sold it for.
I did. That's what I was actually going to say. Well, it wouldn't have been much of a deal if I had bought it back for more. No, we bought it back for a lot less. And it was just a eureka moment. I was in London and my daughter was working as a management consultant, and the owner then rang me up and said, oh, you know, well, he said, you know, do you know anybody who might? And I just picked up the phone to my daughter. It was just that moment. And I said, do you fancy it? Because I don't fancy buying it back on my own. And she said, yes. And that was it. Yeah.
Fantastic. OK, let's have another song. And you picked, you picked Christa Byrne, his classic single. Why did you pick this?
About 5 years ago, before my husband's illness, we went, and I never thought I would enjoy cruising, but he persuaded me to go on a cruise. The one and only one I've done so far in my life. But we went there, and I remember that song was on, and I had a red dress on, and it was lovely.
Shine so bright.
Krista Burr, Lady in Red. Our guest this week on Choices is Dr. Isabella Moore, and we'll be back talking about why you should become an entrepreneur next.
Hello. I'm looking to buy a new mobile phone.
Okay, well, we've got the new Dynamic Core Ultra 999G processor with split screen, high-tech megapixel, built-in infinity display, and it's got another...
Why did technology become so complicated? At Doro, we believe that mobile phones should be simple, which is why our stylish range of phones are easy to use and feature clearer displays and louder sound. So if you're looking for a phone that's right for you, visit Doro.com. Doro. It's a doddle.
The financial system is supposed to help protect you from scammers trying to steal your money. If you've sent money to a scammer, then we can help you recover it from the system that failed you. At CEL Solicitors, we've helped recover millions of pounds lost to scam artists, and often with interest, from the time it left our clients' accounts. Visit celsolicitors.co.uk to get your money back.
Time to give your conservatory a fresh new look? Then talk to Premier Cane Furniture. We're home to quality cane conservatory furniture in traditional and contemporary designs. Premier Cane Furniture offers a huge choice of fabrics to match your style and home. We even plant a tree for every order placed. If you need inspiration, see premier-cane.co.uk to view our suite of the month and find all our latest offers. Premier Cane Furniture, family run for over 20 years.
She's a language expert. She's built a multi-million pound business. She sold it and then she's bought it back. She's got a doctorate in business too. And now she's trying to give back by persuading other baby boomers like you to become entrepreneurs too. I'm Phil Riley, and this week on Boom Radio, these are the choices of Dr. Isabella Moore. Isabella, you mentioned that you were the first female president of the British Chamber of Commerce. Yes. That's a pretty big role. And you were, you got involved in European stuff as well. I mean, business doesn't have a great reputation in the UK, does it? What can we do to promote business and make people feel it's important and vital for us?
I mean, there are organisations that are there. I mean, there's, as you said, I was the president of the British Chambers of Commerce. They have a huge network of chambers across the UK. Lots of businesses are members of those organisations. Each Chamber of Commerce, I mean, our Coventry and Warwickshire chambers support a variety of activities they put on for businesses, networking. And there is the support there. It's just quite, sometimes I feel that the support isn't always readily visible for people that have never had anything to do with business. And I think that is the issue. And I think when I looked at the whole issue of people in later life, that becomes an even bigger problem, because they feel when they go to some of these business support organizations, they're not taken seriously, because there's this sort of stereotypical view that, you know, once you've reached a certain age, it's steady decline. So why on earth would you want to be setting up a business? So there is an issue there. But I think so. I mean, especially, I mean, when you think about the number of small businesses, I think probably big business hasn't got the best reputation.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, we're a country of small businesses. You know, there's, you know, hundreds and thousands of small businesses, where people working from home, you know, in small offices that, you know, are very much part of the community.
On your CV, the voluntary section is almost as long as the job section. You've given so much back and done so much. And women in business is a big thing for you as well. Why do you think women are less well represented in business?
I think it's all about, it's about stereotypes, I think. When I first started my career, and, you know, and I'm not being derogatory in any way, but when I would attend network events, the only other lady in the room would be serving the teas and coffees.
Yeah.
This has changed hugely. So there are many, many successful women business owners. So I think we're more confident, we're more able to access the help and support. There is still a gap. I mean, and as you go on in later life, that gap is even bigger. So in some ways, welfare system is a benefit, but can also be a barrier, because if you're cushioned by benefits, then mm-hmm. obviously the incentive to think about setting up a business is less. You know, that necessity isn't there.
Let's have some more music. You've picked Coldplay, Viva La Vida. What inspired you to pick this track?
Well, my two granddaughters, actually. I have two lovely granddaughters, Maria, who is nearly 12, and Niamh, who is nearly 9. And I must say, Coldplay had passed me by. And I would help with picking them up from school. And we had a recording. My granddaughter, the first thing she does, which absolutely annoys me, she gets into the car and starts fiddling around with my screen and puts on Spotify or something, and then I can never get it back to listen to the news. But she put on Coldplay, and we would always coming back, all three of us sing it together. And, you know, she just, as I said, I didn't know about this particular band, and I love them now. So, you know, Viva La Vida was just brilliant.
that was when I ruled the world.
Coldplay, Viva La Vida, picked by this week's guest on Choices, who is Dr. Isabella Moore. So circling back to the Olderpreneurs Alliance, which is your what you've set up, if one of our listeners is listening and thinks, I've actually got a great idea for a business, how do they develop that? What are the things that people... Where should they go to look for help if they think I could maybe make that hobby into a business? What's the route for them?
Well, can I just say that part of the research that I did recently for my PhD showed very clearly that people in later life, when they actually try to access some of the generic business support that is out there, have real worries and concerns. As I said, they're not always, they feel and they perceive that they're not taken seriously.
Yeah.
And it's the sort of these findings sort of spurred me on to develop this later creator program, which, you know, I believe will help people to overcome some of the issues and some of the concerns they have, to the point that they will then very happily access all the support that is out there, and there is a lot, without feeling that, you know, that they're worried, that they lack confidence, and they can just take what is on offer. And that's the aim of the program.
If somebody Googled the Olderpreneurs Alliance, or they Googled, yes, your name, Dr. Isabella Moore, they'd find that information, but they'd go onto your site and it would be there to help them. Yeah.
Yes. Olderpreneuralliance.com. There's a page there about later creator. We're currently running a pilot in Scotland with a partner organisation, my great friend Jackie Brereton, who has set up Women's Enterprise Scotland and is chief executive of GrowBiz, and they support rural businesses in Scotland. And they working with us, we are running the first pilot of the later creator, just to see, to make sure that, you know, we are listening to the requirements and needs of this group of people. But, and you'll see, the where to go, who to contact on the Olderpreneur Alliance. There is a page about the later creator. It's just gone on, actually.
I suppose one of the big things that people would worry about is, well, I've saved up a bit of money for retirement, and it might take some money to launch a business. Is that one of the things that people get concerned about? Is putting their own money at risk in doing something entrepreneurial?
Well, there is always risk involved in setting up a business, and you know, you can't get away from it. But if you have savings and you can say, right, I'm going to put this amount into the business and see how I go, ring fence that amount, that is one way. But there's also other ways of raising finance, going to the bank for a small loan. There are grants available to help get you going. So it's getting that information. That's part of what we are doing with the Later Creator Program, is showing and giving that sort of information when somebody is thinking about funding, because obviously you need that.
You'll be pleased to know that all of us at Boom Radio are busy being older entrepreneurs ourselves, and therefore we're very supportive of everything that you're doing. So the best of luck with the Later Creator and the Olderpreneurs Alliance, and thank you very much for sharing some of your insights with us this week on Choices. It's been fantastic. Now you're going to finish with a bit of Dire Straits. Is there a story behind this?
Brothers in Arms. Well, as you know, I earlier said, I've always had a huge interest in Eastern Europe. I've travelled widely in the Ukraine, both for work and for pleasure. So I know a lot about that country, and what happened recently was just, you know, just beyond belief. You know, it's a horrific situation. And I just heard Brothers in Arms, and I just thought, that is just such a an appropriate song, and I just love it because that makes me think of the Ukraine. I know it was first written during the Falklands War, but it just makes me think and just how brave these guys are out there.
Dr. Isabella Moore, been a pleasure to talk to you on Boom Radio. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
In every line.